Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic. We're your hosts, Ross Barber
and Marcia Novelli.
And today on the show, we have singer-songwriter Paul Johnson from Silver Trees with us. Hey, Paul, how's it going?
Hey, it's going well. How are you guys?
We're good.
I'm good.
Good.
We're good.
Awesome.
And what we like to do, we like to kick our interviews off by asking you to tell us three things about yourself that everyone should know.
Okay. Three things about myself. I'd say first thing, so I live in Nashville, Tennessee, but I actually grew up on the border of North Dakota and Minnesota. I'm actually from Fargo, North Dakota. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie, the old, scary, slightly funny Fargo movie. But anyways, I'm from there.
That movie.
All the funny accents. Yeah. So people are always, whenever I say, oh, I'm from North Dakota, people are always, oh, you're the first person I know from North Dakota. And it's never a surprise because there's not many people. But number one. Number two, big outdoors. I don't know if you guys can see my little ski poster thing over there. But I love going to.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic. We're your hosts, Ross Barber
and Marcia Novelli.
And today on the show, we have singer-songwriter Paul Johnson from Silver Trees with us. Hey, Paul, how's it going?
Hey, it's going well. How are you guys?
We're
good.
I'm good.
Good.
We're good.
Awesome.
And what we like to do, we like to kick our interviews off by asking you to tell us three things about yourself that everyone should know.
Okay. Three things about myself. I'd say first thing, so I live in Nashville, Tennessee, but I actually grew up on the border of North Dakota and Minnesota. I'm actually from Fargo, North Dakota. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie, the old, scary, slightly funny Fargo movie. But anyways, I'm from there.
I love that movie.
All the funny accents. Yeah. So people are always, whenever I say, oh, I'm from North Dakota, people are always, oh, you're the first person I know from North Dakota. And it's never a surprise because there's not many people. But number one. Number two, big outdoors. I don't know if you guys can see my little ski poster thing over there. But I love going. There's a place down here in Nashville called Radnor Lake, and I love just being outside, going on camping trips and that kind of thing. It's kind of a grounding experience, spiritually grounding. I just like getting out, getting to the solitude. And number three, I'm a huge coffee junkie, which Nashville is a really good town to be a huge coffee junkie in.
Oh,
because
really?
there's a lot of good coffee shops, and it's easy to become a coffee snob just by osmosis in this town. So it's a good spot. But yeah, I'd say, you know, those three are a good intro to my life. I'm usually outside drinking coffee or like talking to family from home. So, you know, those are the three pillars.
Awesome. Well, I love coffee too. So we're already, you know, a third of the way to being friends.
I'm a tea guy.
Beautiful. Nice.
I do
nice.
The green tea thing.
Nice.
I'd be too jittery with coffee. I don't know how you guys can do that.
I would love to see you drinking coffee. Just once. I would love
do
to see
it. Do a 5K in 10 minutes.
So, Paul,
yeah.
Obviously, I know you from Silver Trees. That's where I first heard of you. But you are also a songwriter for other musicians. You're a session musician. You've got solo project. Tell us about, let's talk about your solo
sure
project first.
Sure. Well, that's how it kind of started. Was I after high school, or sort of towards the later part of high school, I was just writing and doing music as a singer-songwriter, and then that sort of continued into the next few years in early 20s, and that was kind of the first thing that I really did seriously, kind of as sort of a career attempt in music, was to do. To do music as a singer-songwriter, and it was fun. It was definitely a big learning experience. The first record that I ever put out, which I think is hidden away in some dark corner of the earth, we had like a bunch of friends just that was in North Dakota come in and do that, and that was really kind of an experiment in recording, and then went on and started working with a few more people, and then eventually I kind of took a break from doing singer-songwriter stuff and things as a solo artist to work with a few other musicians in town and producers. And that's, at that point, I was really more interested in playing on other people's records and writing for other people's stuff. I had a lot of fun doing the singer-songwriter project, but I was really interested long-term in working with people, doing collaborations, and that's musically where I really felt the most fulfilled too, is when I wasn't just self-producing, I wasn't writing as Paul J. Johnson and doing that kind of thing, working in sort of a greater entity. So I really pursued that quite a bit more a few years ago, and that's how I got hooked into working with one of the producers I've worked with quite a bit named Chase Coy. And we did some co-writes, and then eventually he helped produce on some of the project that I was working on, just a few demos that I was putting together for some publishing stuff. And then through him, I started writing for a few of his artists, some of the people that he was producing, and then just being in town, I had friends that I would occasionally write for, or I would go play for, do live stuff or studio stuff. So sort of slipped into that role of writer and occasionally doing session work for those guys, and that was great. But eventually Chase kind of approached me with the idea of doing a artist project again, which is something I wasn't really actively pursuing, but I always am writing, so I always have this. I always have kind of a list of songs that are just there. I don't really know what I'm going to do with them. They're just around because I'm always trying to keep the practice going. And he pretty much, you know, brought up the idea. He's like, well, you have these songs. You know, you perform and all that. So why don't we just do an artist project? And being that I'd already done the work as a singer-songwriter and done those projects, I was interested in doing the project, but I didn't want to do it as a solo person. I didn't want it to be the Paul Johnson thing. So that's why we essentially created Silver Trees. And initially it was Chase and I just working in the studio on some of my songs, and then we would bring in some session players to help us out in the studio, and we would fill out the production. But now we have a few more friends working with us on a pretty consistent basis and trying to really grow that band out a bit more. And our first release was about, I think it was November of 2013, so it wasn't too long ago. And that was the Paper Hearts EP. And then that was sort of a somewhat of an experiment. We put it out and just to see, you know, what we could pull out of it. And we ended up being pretty encouraged by the response and some of the support. So followed that up with a single, and then most recently, just a few weeks ago, the latest thing that we did, the EP Fighting the Rust. So it was essentially this kind of windy journey as a musician, where I started as that singer. So sorry, I kind of diverted from your question as talking about the solo stuff. I went ahead and jumped straight into Silver Tree. But it was kind of a windy road where I started as a singer-songwriter. It was a learning experience. I got disinterested in working alone and playing alone, and started working with other people. And through that, found my way back into working as an artist, but this time as sort of an entity that has room for people and collaboration. So that's where I'm saying that. Who knows what's going to do from here on out. But that's kind of where we got a little bit of traction. So that's where most of the energy and time has been going lately, is into Silver Trees.
Very cool. So tell us a little bit more about your latest EP, Fighting the Rust.
Yeah, well, Fighting the Rust, so it's our second studio EP. I would say it's a little bit more produced, a little more of a Silver Tree sound, I would say. We kind of started to feel what what our signature sort of our sonic footprint is, sorry, and we started to really lay into those elements. So basically, I wrote the record in early 2014, really, or the EP, and continued to write while we started it. We actually started that record thinking we were just going to release the single House Home as a single, and then I had enough songs and had some on the way where we were able to go ahead and include those and sort of start developing them, and it just sort of turned into an EP throughout the process. So we were actually intending on releasing House Home as its own little thing, but then we thought, well, you know, we have the music, why not do more of a full package thing? I think people enjoy that a bit more too when they can get, you know, a hit of songs instead of just one that they either like or don't like, you know, get a bit more options. And it was fun for me too because it continues to give me that outlet where I always have these songs that I'm waiting for an opportunity for, and it's nice to be able to push those out in a record. So anyway, so Finding the Rust came out a few weeks ago, released that one mainly on iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, you know, the standard stores.
It hit number 4 most downloaded on Noise Trade.
It did, yeah. This, and then it, I think it got up to like 19 on the iTunes charts, the singer-songwriter iTunes charts.
Oh, that's wonderful.
In the States, so that was a nice, that was you know, better than we have done as a band before in our history. So that was kind of a nice highlight so far of that record. And Noise Trade is great. We that's how we actually did our first record, our first EP, is we released it almost entirely on Noise Trade. We still put it on iTunes, but we really pushed it on Noise Trade. And then on this newest one, we released our single House Home on Noise Trade, and then the rest of it is available through those other avenues. But I always love, you know, when we get to work with those guys and sort of utilize that in our releases, because that's such a, I think that's just such a great platform, especially for young bands and earlier, you know, when we're still building ourselves up quite a bit, trying to find that foundation. It's just extremely useful in getting people to hear our music. So
I was going to ask what you would say the benefits of using Noise Trade are.
So we put it out there as sort of a kind of a promotional, originally we used it as our platform, and now we use it as sort of a promotional tool. But when we put free music out there, it helps us grow our fan base, helps us grow our listener support, because it's essentially saying, hey, look, it's risk-free, you know, it's here's the record in free download. So a lot of people that, you know, use Noise Trade or looking for new music, makes it easy for them to check us out and hear what we're up to. It also gives us the benefit of when they download our music, they essentially are signing up for our email list. So we have a way to stay in touch with them and to follow up with them. So everybody who downloaded Paper Hearts, we can, once we released Fighting the Rust, we can say, hey, look, we have this new record. You know, noticing that you've downloaded Paper Hearts, we think you'd enjoy it. And then it also gives fans, once they download a record, the option to tweet it and Facebook it and, you know, utilize all the social media. So I think Noise Trade is kind of a unique environment in the sense where it's a lot of people that are actually actively looking for new music and new bands. Mm-hmm. So it's great because you have... you get new listeners, you get new supporters, but you also get the kind of people that are, I think, really proud and really want to celebrate finding new music and really enjoy sharing that. So it's something that I think that it's kind of a double win when it comes to getting new people on your team, because they're not just supporting you, but they're also actively, they're the kind of people that sort of hear the band first and they want to go out to their friends and tell them about it, and those are people that we definitely want to partner with and work with and you know, have on our side. So Noise Trade has been huge for that.
It sounds reminiscent to me of MySpace, which is, I feel like there's a hole that MySpace left behind that it seems like maybe Noise Trade could be filling. That, you know, artist fan connection where these people are just searching for new quality music. You know, it's something, something other than what they're kind of being forced to listen to via mainstream radio. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
yeah. So that's really cool, and I think it's smart that you're utilizing that.
That's where Noise Trade is where I found you, and you're right. You know, I signed up to the Noise Trade newsletter because for the very reason you said, because I wanted to find new music And then, yep, I heard you guys, and then I tweeted it, I Facebooked it, I signed up, I'm on your mailing list, yeah. Followed you on Twitter.
Which we very much appreciate too. So it's very kind.
Well, I only post if I like it. So, so I do like it. So yeah, I really like NoiseTrade. It was only very recently that I discovered it. And I think I discovered it by accident actually.
Yeah, so that's been, we've been really grateful to gain, you know, some listeners through that platform, and also be able to get some visibility on it too, with getting a good, you know, like I said, getting in some of the top downloads and that kind of stuff. That's hugely helpful to us. But yeah, it's a great platform. I first heard about it like 4 or 5 years ago when Derek Webb came in and like talked to, he was like a guest speaker here in Nashville. And I think he co-founded NoiseTrade. And was just, back then it was a brand new thing, but since then I think it's really gotten to be a kind of an international place to find independent music, which is great.
Awesome. Sure. So obviously you've done quite a few things. You've had a bit of a journey between starting out as a singer-songwriter and now, in a way, sort of come back full circle. You're still a singer-songwriter, but you're collaborating with others. What kind of advice would you give to someone who was maybe in the same kind of position you were in, you know, when you're a solo singer-songwriter, but you were feeling like that wasn't the direction you wanted to go in? What would be the advice you would give to them to maybe help them find the direction that they want to go in?
I would say just going out and being a part of if there's a community in your town or in your city of artists, musicians, just trying to be active in that. I always hated when I first moved down here. I always hated the word networking because I felt like that's such a, yeah. I feel like networking is such a,
it's a business douche word.
I was just going to say business douche.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's in the connotation.
Phony.
Yeah, well, and it is. I mean, it's you know, there are people that are essentially saying, do you want to be friends so we can stand on each other's shoulders, you know, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
But I would say just being a genuine supporter and active member in a creative community does wonders, to the point where I've never felt like I've never felt like I've been networking or on networking missions or anything like that. But just by being a part of the community and my friends being songwriters and artists, you just start to sort of get this group of people that eventually you kind of find the ones that you work well with creatively. And so I'd say, as far as advice goes, I'd say just don't be afraid to step out of your comfort zone and maybe reach out from time to time with the people that you genuinely admire and say, hey, you know, I love your sound, or I love what you're doing. Do you just want to, you know, write together or jam together, or just go and support them and be an active member of the creative community? Because I think that at least the way it is in Nashville, it seems like a lot of times when one person does one of those communities, the whole thing rises. So people tend to be very supportive and try to just rally around each other. So both from a creative standpoint and from a career standpoint, I think that just making a point to go support your peers, and if you really like what someone's up to or really look up to them, let them know, you know, see if you can hang out during a session or you know, go writing or see if they maybe need a, you know, guitar player on a certain track or something. Just, you know, anything, any way to sort of get involved with projects that you genuinely enjoy, I think is a great foot in the door.
And would you say that building relationships is important? Well, maybe more so building genuine relationships, I'd say, both with other musicians and potential fans and all that kind of thing. Like, how important would you say that is?
And you mean like in the context of fans and musicians, or?
Kind of both. So, like, well, maybe it's two separate questions. Maybe it's how important would you say building relationships with other musicians is? And then also, how important would you say building relationships with your fans is?
I think they're both pretty crucial. I know that almost all of my biggest opportunities as a musician have stemmed out of just friendships that I've had with people that are also out there playing and recording. And it hasn't been, you know, like we were saying earlier, it hasn't been a networking thing where it's like, hey, like, let's hang out because you're successful or because I want to, like, you know. But as much as it is just being in a place like Nashville and making an effort to sort of be around the community, eventually you get those you get those connections just by osmosis, not by really even trying to pull it out of anybody. So it's been crucial to my personal journey, because it's something where if I have friends that are farther down the road than me, it's amazingly helpful for me to just, you know, sit down for coffee or send an email to be like, how did you do that? You know, like what, so like, you know, how'd you set that up? You know, and most people are really, really, very, very good about and just excited about sharing, you know, what they've done and what they're up to and just supporting their peers. So that's been crucial. That's been, without the support of the creative community thus far, there's no doubt that I wouldn't have had nearly the opportunity that I've had up to this point. So musicians is big, but I mean, in a genuine, I would say, and just find people that you genuinely enjoy what they're doing and just support it. And eventually those connections come where they're supposed to. With fans, I think that especially in the early stages, which the Silver Trees is still very much in its early stages, I think that it's really, really important to make sure that your fans are genuinely recognized, appreciated, and that they can feel that and sense that. Because I think that one of the big mistakes that I see a lot of artists making is that they sort of put something out there and then they just kind of expect people to, like, you know, receive it, and you know, they might, or the, you know, so let's say they get some people on Facebook or on Twitter that say, hey, like, great job, you know, love your thing, and they might just shoot out a quick thanks or something like that, but they kind of expect these people, where I think that in reality is nobody has to listen to us. You know, nobody has to take that time, but when they do, that's a huge gift. That's a huge, just spending, you know, 3.5 minutes of their day taking a chance on your thing. So I think just to receive it with that gratitude and to let them know, hey, I really genuinely appreciate that. I think that it helps build connections just on a friend level. You know, you gain friends out of that, but also helps build supporters that aren't just people that go, oh yeah, I've heard of those guys, I kind of like their latest thing, but people that are genuinely, like, you know, out there advocating for you. And when you're in the small stage, really when you're in any stage, that's crucial to have a supporting base that really is trying to support and spread what you're doing. So I really, with Silver Trees, we really try to connect with everybody that connects with us, and not just in a like, you know, thanks, man, you know, but like really, but you know, like right now we have the time and the ability to go check out your projects and that kind of thing. When like if an artist, you know, says, hey, like this song, or if, you know, somebody, like this morning, somebody did like a blog post and she tweeted us and she was like, hey, like your song inspired this blog post. And I go out and I read that because like I can. And it's something that I think that just reciprocating the investment they've made in us by making that back to them, checking out their projects, and actually, you know, seeing, okay, who are these people? I think that's huge, and building those relationships that then comes around and turns into a really advocating, supporting base.
Well, it's always cool when friends become fans and when fans become friends.
Absolutely, yeah. Right? For sure.
You know, another thing is, you know, you made the decision to move to Nashville. How important has that been in your development as a musician, as a singer-songwriter, as a session artist, you know, getting yourself in a major musical city, especially Nashville being one of the musical cities in North America, right?
For sure. It's been huge. Originally it was very exciting, and then it was very depressing because everybody was better than me, and then it was very encouraging, because once I sort of got over the fact that everybody's better than me, I could be like, okay, show me how to do what you do, and you know, let me latch onto that, and then you see yourself getting better, you hear yourself getting better, and then you get some of the benefits of that. So it's something where I think that right now, especially in the time of social media, which is a amazing tool for artists, I think that it simultaneously emphasizes the importance of proximity to other artists, to opportunities and that kind of thing. Because when everybody can, you know, Facebook a person or an artist or something like that, it's that much more important to be able to stand face to face and have a real relationship and just learn from those people. So for me, it was massive. I mean, it was inspiring at first because I'm like, man, like there's so much good stuff going on in the city, so many great artists. And then I was just bummed because I was like, oh, I'm so there's so much to do. I have so much growth to put into this if I want to play and write at their caliber. But all in all, I think that's been good. And it's something that's really kind of kicked me in the butt, but eventually pulled me up quite a bit and always will probably continue to be pulling me up as long as I let it.
So are you ready for 20 questions?
Sure. Let's go for it.
All right. Ready and set and go.
Okay.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Meat or veggies?
Meat.
CD or vinyl?
Ooh, vinyl if possible, but I don't have a vinyl player, so CD.
Summer or winter?
Ooh, I'm going to go summer.
Pizza or popcorn?
Pizza.
Twitter or Facebook?
Facebook.
Melody or rhythm?
Melody.
Solo or band?
Band.
Indie or major?
Indie.
Rain or shine?
Shine.
North Dakota or Nashville?
Nashville right now.
Yoga or yogurt?
Yogurt.
Taylor Swift or Taylor Lautner?
Taylor Swift.
Cats or rats?
Cats.
Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton?
Ooh, Michael Bolton.
Twerk or work?
Work.
Ricky Gervais or Ricky Martin?
Ricky Gervais.
Whale or kale?
Whale.
Bette Midler or the Riddler?
Who's Bette Midler? I'm going to go with the Riddler.
And finally, Ross or Marcio?
Between you guys? I'm going to say a hybrid version of both of you. If you screenshot both and then just put it into one person.
So like half of our faces.
Yeah. And then just
put together.
Yeah.
Like that'd be,
it's gotta be my good side though. Okay.
Okay. Which side's that? I'm kidding. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That might be the quickest one. I think Paul might be winning.
I think you might be the winner so far.
It's decisiveness.
So for anybody listening right now, what sort of music recommendations would you have for them? What artists are you listening to right now that they should be listening to?
Okay. I would say one artist that I really love, and they've had a few records out for a while now, and I don't hear about them a whole lot, but I think that they are just as good as anybody, is called Rogue Valley. They're actually a Minneapolis band, independent band, and they mainly, I think, tour in that area, up in the Midwest and up in the Minnesota area. But they're just there's some, whenever I just want a relaxing afternoon or, you know, on a long drive, Rogue Valley is just a great band to listen to. And I think they actually put out like four full-length records in 1 year. Each record is based off of a season, so they have like their summer record, record, winter and spring. But you'd think that, you know, four full records in a year would have a lot of filler material, but it's actually a lot of really interesting stuff.
Wow.
So I know I personally I love their stuff and have found a lot of just personal inspiration from their style and the stuff that I write. So I would say definitely go check those guys out. Trying to think lately who I've been into. I pick and choose a lot on iTunes, so I have, there's a few bands where I have like their whole, you know, catalog, and then I will be listening to Pandora or whatever, and I'll get like little snippets here and there. So I have like lots of little songs that I love from random artists, but I need to like follow up with their records and, you know, see if the rest of it is up there.
Right.
But I would definitely start with Rogue Valley, just because I think that they're a solid band, and I'd like to see them get some attention for it.
Very cool. And people can find you at silvertreesmusic.com.
Yep.
Right?
Yep, absolutely.
And Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you're on all those
yep.
new websites?
Yep, absolutely. And I think our Twitter handle is silvertreesband, at silvertreesband.
Cool.
Yep.
And then we are, I think we're on Facebook, silvertreesmusic,
right.
I believe. But don't take my word for it.
Okay. We'll make sure all the correct links.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll update that.
All right.
Hey, this has been great. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Love to have you back if you'd be willing to come back.
Yeah, absolutely. This is great. It was fun to chat with you guys, and I appreciate you listening to me word vomit for a solid while.
That's okay. Marcio's used to that with my emails. My emails are just word vomit, so he's used to that.
Well, that's going to be the title of this podcast.
Word vomit, nice.
Word vomiting with Paul Johnson.
Okay. I was going to say, if we have a follow-up record to Fighting the Rust, word vomit could be a candidate for...
It's got, it's poetry, really.
Yeah.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It would be a challenge to find album art that really, capitulates word vomit.
I feel like it'd be pretty easy.
That's true. It'd be challenging to find album art that people are willing to look at as they listen to my music.
Yeah. And it'd be such like a juxtaposition because the artwork would be so horrible, whereas the music's so beautiful. It would be so weird.
That might be great. Like, set the bar low and then hit him with something good, lower the expectations.
You can actually just have a song in there that's one chord and one note constantly. Whoa, it's better than I expected.
There you go.
Oh, well, on that note of vomit. Seriously, I'd like to thank you again for coming on the show, man. Love to have you back. And stay awesome. Keep making great music.
Thanks, man. Well, thank you guys for having me and just for supporting and helping us share this music around and give us an opportunity to talk a bit. It's been great to chat with you guys.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week.
Sure.
Project first.
Sure. Well, that's how it kind of started. Was I after high school or sort of towards the later part of high school, I was just writing and doing music as a singer-songwriter, and then that sort of continued into the next few years in early 20s, and that was kind of the first thing that I really did seriously, kind of as sort of a career attempt in music, was to do music as a singer-songwriter. And it was fun. It was definitely a big learning experience. The first record that I ever put out, which I think is hidden away in some dark corner of the earth, we had like a bunch of friends just, that was in North Dakota, come in and do that. And that was really kind of an experiment in recording, and then went on and started working with a few more people. And then eventually I kind of took a break from doing singer-songwriter stuff and things as a solo artist to work with a few other musicians in town and producers. And that's, at that point, I was really more interested in playing on other people's records and writing for other people's stuff. I had a lot of fun doing the singer-songwriter project, but I was really interested long-term in working with people, doing collaborations, and that's musically where I really felt the most fulfilled too, is when I wasn't just self-producing, I wasn't writing as Paul J. Johnson and doing that kind of thing, when I was working in sort of a greater entity. So I really pursued that quite a bit more a few years ago, and that's how I got hooked into working with one of the producers I've worked with quite a bit named Chase Coy. And we did some co-writes, and then eventually he helped produce on some of the project that I was working on, just a few demos that I was putting together for some publishing stuff. And then through him, I started writing for a few of his artists, some of the people that he was producing, and then just being in town, I had friends that I would occasionally write for, or I would go play for, do live stuff or studio stuff. So sort of slipped into that role of writer and occasionally doing session work for those guys, and that was great. But eventually Chase kind of approached me with the idea of doing a artist project again, which is something that I wasn't really actively pursuing, but I always am writing. So I always have this, I always have kind of a list of songs that are just there. I don't really know what I'm going to do with them. They're just around because I'm always trying to keep the practice going. And he pretty much, you know, brought the idea. He's like, well, you have these songs, you know, you perform and all that. So why don't we just do an artist project? And being that I'd already done the work as a singer-songwriter and done those projects, I was interested in doing the project, but I didn't want to do it as a solo person. I didn't want it to be the Paul Johnson thing. So that's why we essentially created Silver Trees. And initially it was Chase and I just working in the studio on some of my songs, and then we would bring in some session players to help us out in the studio, and we would fill out the production. But now we have a few more friends working with us on a pretty consistent basis and trying to really grow that band out a bit more. And our first release was about, I think it was November of 2013, so it wasn't too long ago. And that was the Paper Hearts EP. And then that was sort of a somewhat of an experiment. We put it out and just to see, you know, what we could pull out of it. And we ended up being pretty encouraged by the response and some of the support. So followed that up with a single, and then most recently, just a few weeks ago, the latest thing that we did, the EP Fighting the Rust. So it was essentially this kind of windy journey as a musician, where I started as that singer. So sorry, I kind of diverted from your question as talking about the solo stuff. I went ahead and jumped straight into Silver Tree. But it was kind of a windy road where I started as a singer-songwriter. It was a learning experience. I got disinterested in working alone and playing alone, and started working with other people. And through that, found my way back into working as an artist, but this time as sort of an entity that has room for people and collaboration. So that's where I'm saying that. Who knows what's going to do from here on out. But that's kind of where we got a little bit of traction. So that's where most of the energy and time has been going lately, is into Silver Trees.
Very cool. So tell us a little bit more about your latest EP, Fighting the Rust.
Yeah, well, Fighting the Rust, so it's our second studio EP. I would say it's more, it's a little bit more produced, a little more of a Silver Tree sound, I would say. We kind of started to feel what our signature, sort of our sonic footprint is, sorry, and we started to really lay into those elements. So basically, I wrote the record in early 2014, really, or the EP, and continued to write while we started it. We actually started that record thinking we were just going to release the single House Home as a single, and then I had enough songs and had some on the way where we were able to go ahead and include those and sort of start developing them, and then just sort of turned into an EP throughout the process. So we were actually intending on releasing House Home as its own little thing, but then we thought, well, you know, we have the music, why not do more of a full package thing? I think people enjoy that a bit more too, when they can get, you know, a hit of songs instead of just one that they either like or don't like, you know, get a bit more options. And it was fun for me too, because it continues to give me that outlet where I always have these songs that I'm waiting for an opportunity for, and it's nice to be able to push those out in a record. So Fighting the Rust came out a few weeks ago. Released that one mainly on iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, you know, the standard stores.
It hit a number 4 most downloaded on Noise Trade.
It did, yeah. I think it got up to like 19 on the iTunes charts, the singer-songwriter iTunes charts.
Oh, that's wonderful.
In the States, so that was a nice, that was, you know, better than we have done as a band before in our history. So that was kind of a nice highlight so far of that record. And Noise Trade is great. That's how we actually did our first record, our first EP, is we released it almost entirely on Noise Trade. We still put it on iTunes, but we really pushed it on Noise Trade. And then on this newest one, we released our single House Home on Noise Trade, and then the rest of it is available through those other avenues. But I always love, you know, when we get to work with those guys and sort of utilize that in our releases, because that's such a, I think that's just such a great platform, especially for young bands and earlier, you know, when we're still building ourselves up quite a bit, trying to find that foundation. It's just extremely useful and getting people to hear our music. So
yeah, I was going to ask what you would say the benefits of using Noisetrade are.
So we put it out there as sort of a kind of a promotional. Originally, we used it as our platform, and now we use it as sort of a promotional tool. But when we put Pretty Music out there, it helps us grow our fan base, helps us grow our listener support, because it's essentially saying, "Hey, look, it's risk free. You know, it's here's the record in free download." So a lot of people that you know use Noisetrade are looking for new music. Makes it easy for them to check us out and hear what we're up to. It also gives us the benefit of when they download our music, they essentially are signing up for our email list, so we have a way to stay in touch with them and to follow up with them. So everybody who downloaded Paper Hearts, we can, once we released Fighting the Rust, we can say, "Hey, look, we have this new record. You know, noticing that you've downloaded Paper Hearts, we think you'd enjoy it." And then it also gives fans, once they download a record, the option to tweet it and Facebook it and, you know, utilize all the social media. So I think Noisetrade is kind of a unique environment in the sense where it's a lot of people that are actually actively looking for new music and new bands. Mm-hmm. So it's great because you have... you get new listeners, you get new supporters, but you also get the kind of people that are, I think, really... proud and really want to celebrate finding new music and really enjoy sharing that. So it's something that I think that it's kind of a double win when it comes to getting new people on your team, because they're not just supporting you, but they're also actively, they're the kind of people that sort of hear the band first and they want to go out to their friends and tell them about it. And those are people that we definitely want to partner with and work with and you know, have on our side. So Noisetrade has been huge for that.
It sounds reminiscent to me of MySpace, which is, I feel like there's a hole that MySpace left behind that it seems like maybe Noisetrade could be filling. That, you know, artist fan connection, mm-hmm. where these people are just searching for new quality music. You know, it's something, yeah. something other than what they're kind of being forced to listen to via mainstream radio. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
yeah. So that's really cool, and I think it's smart that you're utilizing that.
That's where Noisetrade is where I found you, and you're right. You know, yeah, like I signed up to the Noisetrade newsletter because for the very reason you said, because I wanted to find new music, and then I heard you guys, and then I tweeted it, I Facebooked it, I signed up on your mailing list, followed you on Twitter.
Which we very much appreciate too. So it's very kind.
I only post if I like it. So so I do like it. I really like Noisetrade. It was only very recently that I discovered it. And I think I discovered it by accident actually.
we've been really grateful to gain some listeners through that platform, and also be able to get some visibility on it too, with getting a good, you know, like I said, getting in some of the top downloads and that kind of stuff. That's hugely helpful to us. It's a great platform. I first heard about it like 4 or 5 years ago when Derek Webb came and like talked to it. He was like a guest speaker here in Nashville, and I think he co-founded Noisetrade. And was just it, back then it was a brand new thing, but since then I think it's really gotten to be a kind of an international place to find independent music, which is great.
Awesome. Sure. So obviously you've done quite a few things. You've had a bit of a journey between starting out as a singer-songwriter and now, in a way, sort of come back full circle. You're still a singer-songwriter, but you're collaborating with others. What kind of advice would you give to someone who was maybe in the same kind of position you were in, you know, when you're a solo singer-songwriter, but you were feeling like that wasn't the direction you wanted to go in? What would be the advice you would give to them to maybe help them find the direction that they want to go in?
I would say just going out and being a part of if there's a community in your town or in your city of artists, musicians, just trying to be active in that. I always hated when I first moved down here. I always hated the word networking because I felt like that's such a, I feel like networking is such a,
it's a business douche word.
I was just going to say business douche.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's in the
it
connotation.
Phony.
Yeah, well, and it is. I mean, it's you know, there are people that are essentially saying, "Do you want to be friends so we can stand on each other's shoulders?" You know, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
But I would say just being a genuine supporter and active member in a creative community does wonders, to the point where I've never felt like I've, in Nashville, I've never felt like I've been networking or on networking missions or anything like that. But just by being a part of the community and my friends being songwriters and artists, you just start to sort of get this group of people that eventually you kind of find the ones that you work well with creatively. And so I'd say, as far as advice goes, I'd say just don't be afraid to step out of your comfort zone and maybe reach out from time to time with the people that you genuinely admire and say, hey, you know, I love your sound, or I love what you're doing. Do you just want to, you know, write together or jam together, or just go and support them and be an active member of the creative community? Because I think that at least the way it is in Nashville, it seems like a lot of times when one person does well in those communities, the whole thing rises. So people tend to be very supportive and try to just rally around each other. So both from a creative standpoint and from a career standpoint, I think that just making a point to go support your peers, and if you really like what someone's up to or really look up to them, let them know, you know, see if you can hang out during a session or go writing or see if they maybe need a, you know, guitar player on a certain track or something. Just, you know, anything, any way to sort of get involved with projects that you genuinely enjoy, I think, is a great foot in the door.
And would you say that building relationships is important? Well, maybe more so building genuine relationships, I'd say, both with other musicians and potential fans and all that kind of thing. Like, how important would you say that is?
And you mean like in the context of fans and musicians, or?
Kind of both. So, like, well, maybe it's two separate questions. Maybe it's how important would you say building relationships with other musicians is? And then also, how important would you say building relationships with your fans is?
I think they're both pretty crucial. I know that almost all of my biggest opportunities as a musician have stemmed out of just friendships that I've had with people that are also out there playing and recording. And it hasn't been, you know, like we were saying earlier, it hasn't been a networking thing where it's like, hey, like, let's hang out because you're successful or because I want to, like, you know. But as much as it is just being in a place like Nashville and making an effort to sort of be around the community, eventually you get those you get those connections just by osmosis, not by really even trying to pull it out of anybody. So but it's been crucial to my personal journey, because it's something where if I have friends that are farther down the road than me, it's amazingly helpful for me to just, you know, sit down for coffee or send them emails, be like, how do you do that? You know, like, what, so, like, you know, how do you set that up? You know, and most people are really, really, very, very good about and just excited about sharing, you know, what they've done and what they're up to and just supporting their peers. So that's been crucial. That's been, without the support of the creative community thus far, there's no doubt that I wouldn't have had nearly the opportunity that I've had up to this point. So musicians is big, but I mean, in a genuine, I would say, just find people that you genuinely enjoy what they're doing and just support it, and eventually those connections come where they're supposed to. With fans, I think that especially in the early stages, which the Silver Trees is still very much in its early stages, I think that it's really, really important to make sure that your fans are genuinely recognized, appreciated, and that they can feel that and sense that. Because I think that one of the big mistakes that I see a lot of artists making is that they sort of put something out there and then they just kind of expect people to, like, you know, receive it. And you know, they might, or the, you know, so let's say they get some people on Facebook or on Twitter that say, hey, like, great job, you know, love your thing. And they might just shoot out a quick thanks or something like that. But they kind of expect these people, where I think that in reality is, nobody has to listen to us. You know, nobody has to take that time. But when they do, that's a huge gift. That's a huge, just spending, you know, 3.5 minutes of their day taking a chance on your thing. So I think just to receive it with that gratitude and to let them know, hey, I really genuinely appreciate that. I think that it helps build connections just on a friend level. You know, you gain friends out of that, but also helps build supporters that aren't just people that go, oh yeah, I've heard of those guys, I kind of like their their latest thing, but people that are genuinely, like, you know, out there advocating for you. And when you're in the small stage, really when you're in any stage, that's crucial to have a supporting base that really is trying to support and spread what you're doing. So I really, with Silver Trees, we really try to connect with everybody that connects with us, and not just in a like, you know, thanks, man, you know, but like really, but you know, like right now we have the time and the ability to go check out your projects and that kind of thing. When like if an artist, you know, says, hey, like this song, or if, you know, somebody, like this morning, somebody did like a blog post and she tweeted us and she was like, hey, like your song inspired this blog post. And I go out and I read that because like I can. And it's something that I think that just reciprocating the investment they've made in us by making that back to them, checking out their projects there, and actually, you know, seeing, okay, who are these people? I think that's huge, and building those relationships that that then comes around and turns into a really advocating, supporting base.
Well, it's always cool when friends become fans and when fans become friends.
Absolutely, yeah. Right? For sure.
You know, another thing is, you know, you made the decision to move to Nashville. How important has that been in your development as a musician, as a singer-songwriter, as a session artist, you know, getting yourself in a major musical city, especially Nashville being one of the musical cities in North America, right?
For sure. It's been huge. It originally it was very exciting, and then it was very depressing because everybody was better than me, and then it was very encouraging because once I sort of got over the fact that everybody's better than me, I could be like, okay, show me how to do what you do, and you know, let me latch onto that, and then you see yourself getting better, you hear yourself getting better, and then you get some of the benefits of that. So it's something where I think that right now, especially in the time of social media, which is an amazing tool for artists, I think that it simultaneously emphasizes the importance of proximity to other artists, to opportunities and that kind of thing. Because when everybody can, you know, Facebook a person or an artist or something like that, it's that much more important to be able to stand face to face and have a real relationship and just learn from those people. So for me, it was massive. I mean, it was inspiring at first because I'm like, man, like there's so much good stuff going on in the city, so many great artists. And then I was just bummed because I was like, oh, I'm so like, there's so much to do. I have so much growth to put into this if I want to play and write at their caliber. But all in all, I think that's been good. And it's something that's really, kind of kicked me in the butt, but eventually pulled me up quite a bit, and always will probably continue to be pulling me up as long as I let it.
So are you ready for 20 questions?
Sure, let's go for it.
All right, ready and set and go.
Okay.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Meat or veggies?
Meat.
CD or vinyl?
Ooh, vinyl if possible, but I don't have a vinyl player, so CD.
Summer or winter?
Ooh, I'm going to go summer.
Pizza or popcorn?
Pizza.
Twitter or Facebook?
Facebook.
Melody or rhythm?
Melody.
Solo or band?
Band.
Indie or major?
Indie.
Rain or shine?
Shine.
North Dakota or Nashville?
Nashville right now.
Yoga or yogurt?
Yogurt.
Taylor Swift or Taylor Lautner?
Taylor Swift.
Cats or rats?
Cats.
Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton?
Ooh, Michael Bolton.
Twerk or work?
Work.
Ricky Gervais or Ricky Martin?
Ricky Gervais.
Whale or kale?
Whale.
Bette Midler or the Riddler?
Who's Bette Midler? I'm going to go with the Riddler.
And finally, Ross or Marcio?
Between you guys, I'm gonna say a hybrid version of both of you. If you screenshot both and then just put it into one person,
so like half of our faces,
yeah, and then just
put together,
yeah,
like that'd be
it's got to be my good side though. Okay,
okay. Which side's that? I'm kidding. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That might be the quickest one. I think Paul might be winning.
I think you might be the winner so far.
It's decisiveness.
For anybody listening right now, what sort of music recommendations would you have for them? What artists are you listening to right now that they should be listening to?
Okay. I would say one artist that I really love, and they've had a few records out for a while now, and I don't hear about them a whole lot, but I think that they are just as good as anybody, is called Rogue Valley. They're actually a Minneapolis band, independent band, and they mainly, I think, tour in that area, up in the Midwest and up in the Minnesota area. But they're just they're something. Whenever I just want a relaxing afternoon, or you know, on a long drive, Rogue Valley is just a great band to listen to. And I think they actually put out four full length records in 1 year. Each record is based off of a season. So they have like their summer record, record, winter and spring. But you'd think that, you know, four full records in a year would have a lot of filler material, but it's actually a lot of really interesting stuff.
Wow.
I love their stuff and have found a lot of just personal inspiration from their style in the stuff that I write. So I would say definitely go check those guys out. Trying to think lately who I've been into. I pick and choose a lot on iTunes, so there's a few bands where I have like their whole, you know, catalog, and then I will be listening to Pandora or whatever, and I'll get like little snippets here and there. So I have like lots of little songs that I love from random artists, but I need to like follow up with their records and, you know, see if the rest of it is up there.
Right.
But I would definitely start with Rogue Valley, just because I think that they're a solid band, and I'd like to see them get some attention for it.
Very cool. And people can find you at silvertreesmusic.com.
Yep.
Right?
Yep, absolutely.
And Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you're on all those new websites?
Yep, absolutely. And I think our Twitter handle is silvertreesband, at silvertreesband.
Cool.
Yep.
And then we are, I think we're on Facebook, silvertreesmusic.
Right.
I believe. But don't take my word for it.
Okay, we'll make sure all the correct links.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll update that.
All right.
Hey, this has been great. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Love to have you back if you'd be willing to come back.
Absolutely. This is great. It was fun to chat with you guys, and I appreciate you listening to me word vomit for a solid while.
That's okay. Marcio's used to that with my emails. My emails are just word vomit, so he's used to that.
Well, that's going to be the title of this podcast.
Word vomit? Nice.
Word vomiting so? With Paul Johnson.
Okay. I was going to say, if we have a follow-up record to Fighting the Rust, word vomit could be a candidate for...
It's got, you know, it's poetry, you know? Really.
It's poetry. Yeah.
It would be a challenge to find album art that really... you know, capitulates word vomit.
I feel like it'd be pretty easy.
That's true. It'd be challenging to find album art that people are willing to look at as they listen to my music.
Yeah, and it'd be such like a juxtaposition because the artwork would be so horrible, whereas the music's so beautiful. It'd be so weird.
That might be great. Like set the bar low and then hit them with something good. You know, lower the expectations.
You can actually just have a song in there that's one chord and one note constantly. Whoa, it's better than I expected.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Oh well, on that note of vomit. Seriously, I'd like to thank you again for coming on the show, man. Love to have you back. And stay awesome. Keep making great music.
Thanks, man. Well, thank you guys for having me and just for supporting and helping us share this music around and giving us an opportunity to talk a bit. It's been great to chat with you guys.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week.